Hello and welcome back to Cryptocurrents, where we interview and discuss the most interesting projects, people, and events in Web3. We're your hosts, Brett Lindstrom and
Jack Vaca.
We're the founders of Fish and Chips, a creative studio delivering compelling design, branding, messaging, and community to all the Web3 projects in the world. Before we get started, please remember to smash that like and subscribe to the channel. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps us out a ton. Today, we have a very exciting podcast. With Gary Gensler, the head of the SEC, resigning, this podcast is fully dedicated to sending him a heartfelt goodbye. So here goes. Goodbye, you bald-headed, Mr. Burns-looking embarrassment to America. What's up, Jack?
I am so excited. When we were talking about, like, should we have a Goodbye Gary episode, I was like, absolutely we should. He has given crypto a heart attack after heart attack after heart attack. Such a hard time. And it's so heartbreaking because his MIT lecture on Bitcoin was literally like one of my sources of how I learned about crypto. So it's just really upsetting that he betrayed us. It felt like a betrayal.
Yeah. Why don't we talk a little bit about that for some of the viewers? They may actually not even know that. Like, even some crypto heads don't really know the extent to which he was in there. I know you and I both took that class online and went through kind of everything. And it's funny, we probably should have been able to tell by the way that he responded to students and like would check in and make sure that they could do it and make every single nerd in that class talk, even though all of them and every fiber of their being was telling them, I don't want to speak. And he would make them speak.
He was like, did you raise your hand? Did you own Bitcoin? I'm like, I'm scared.
Yeah. So anyway, so a little bit of a background. Before becoming the SEC chair, Gary Gensler taught a course at MIT on blockchain and Bitcoin, discussing the transformational potential of decentralized technology and specifically decentralized money. And, you know, he definitely acknowledged its revolutionary potential, and he really understood the technology, like even the nuances of it. And, you know, I learned a lot just taking that course with him. And, you know, I really thought that at the end of this, you know, at the beginning of his administration, that he would really help the industry.
We really thought when he was appointed chair at SEC, I was like, oh, finally, we're going to have someone who actually understands the technology and actually understands like what's going on with all of this stuff and why it's revolutionary. So I was really excited when he took the SEC chair. It felt like the first time he started doing stuff against crypto, I was like, well, maybe he's just like under an abundance of caution. You know, maybe this is like a pathway to leading to some sensible regulation, let's call it. But it just, time after time, I was, what? And then the more stuff that we're going to get into it, but like the more stuff he did with Coinbase, the more I was like, why is this happening?
Yeah. What a loser. I'm sorry. Yeah. We're going to be really brash on this episode because we finally had to do it.
Exactly. We had to have a whole celebratory episode on his departure.
Did you bring champagne?
No, I'm not drinking right now.
All right. So here's the deal, right? It's super, super snowy outside. And I was walking out to the car to go get some champagne. And I looked out the window and I was like, nah. So that's the only reason. I can literally see the abominable snowman right now. Like, he's just chilling there. He's like, yeah, I'm out here, man. Anyway, after the second enforcement action, I realized he's going to be a problem. I had certain people in the space, they actually thought he was a Bitcoin maxi. And that seemed to have made sense until he opposed the Bitcoin ETF. But then again, thinking about it, like, if you're a Bitcoin maxi, because the maxis are all about that. They shouldn't be, but they're all about it.
Yeah, I thought so too. There was that conspiracy theory where he was like, oh, it's just going to be Bitcoin and nothing else. But then he's just generally anti-crypto. And I don't know if that was because like maybe he was being influenced by the people on the Hill and being influenced by other folks that, you know, maybe wanted a different regulation. Well, you know, politics are a little corrupt. So I just know that he was pro-crypto and pro innovation and technology, and then he just
betrayal. It's going to be really hard for me to get through this episode without cursing. I've done a good job so far. I got through what 5 minutes. I don't want us to get we could easily get dark banned on YouTube quickly based on some of the things I would say.
They're going to be like, take down that whole channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like, let's talk a little bit about regulation through enforcement, which was his method of madness. It was a full blown kind of partisan war on crypto when it really shouldn't have been. It really should have just been very nonpartisan in terms of American innovation and, you know, moving forward with this technology that is as his words, very revolutionary. So when he was saying things like the rules are very clear, Coinbase was sitting there like, nah, brah, what? We asked you several times. The thing that, let's bring up Coinbase in particular. Let's talk about Coinbase first, because I feel like Coinbase is my favorite example of why I don't like Gary Gensler.
Another bald guy, but a totally awesome bald guy running that company.
We're not anti-bald here. We're not anti-bald at all. No.
Yeah, just make sure that I clarify that. You know, my intro is a little bit aggressive, but bald people are welcome here, especially Brian Armstrong.
Yeah. So Coinbase was really an interesting case, right? Because they got their IPO approved in, 2021? And then 2023 rolls around and they're like, you actually are breaking all the rules. And they're like, no, we literally asked for the rules and we want to comply. And we're like, probably one of the most prominent and best examples of an American company, an American-based company, trying to follow the rules and be within regulation and work with regulators in order to make this sensible regulation.
So
what a win-win to pair with this beacon of innovation based in the U.S., and they were making it so hard. And it was just mind-boggling to me that they were sort of like shooing off this branch of American innovation into other directions. The saga of the SEC versus Coinbase was such a jarring experience on the sidelines, because SEC was being extremely difficult, specifically Gary Gensler, not the entire SEC, just the head of it.
Yeah, there were some advocates there.
Yeah, there were some advocates like Hester Pierce
has
historically been one of those
crypto moms
that have been calling for sensible regulation and seeing
shout
that
out to Hester.
Actual. Yeah, we love Hester. She's actually, you know, on the side of innovation and on the side of the fact that Gary Gensler has been overreaching and seeking additional power where he has none. So it's just the focus on crypto was really weird, too, right? Because this is something that he really understands, yet he continuously left it in a gray area, knowing the gaps that needed to be filled and continuously kind of skirting around them in order to get them in trouble. And for me, I was like, are you just trying to prove a point here?
Bro, it was straight up malicious. Like, come in and talk to us, and then they have enforcement actions against you. Like, that's some psychotic stuff.
That's like gaslighting, but
straight
like,
up
legal.
Straight up gaslighting. What's going on though?
Totally, totally.
A lot of that going on.
So yeah, there's Coinbase, there's Binance, there's Kraken, there's Ripple. Like the Ripple lawsuit, that was another one. Like all of them were bad. But
can I ask you a question that we don't have? Like we haven't like discussed.
Sure.
What was it like at Polygon when they? Yeah, like what happened? For those of you that don't know, Jack was the head of community at Polygon for a couple of years. So what was it like when SEC declared
that Matic was an unregistered security?
Well, unregistered security, there's no pathway to be a regulated security. Fortunately for us at Polygon, we had one of the best crypto lawyers in the space, Rebecca Redig. Shout out to her, because she really sat so calm during all of this turmoil and really gave us a sort of guide in how to talk about it, how to think about it, and what sort of steps we were going to take. So like for me, like having Rebecca was such an amazing help during that time, because everyone was confused and there's stuff going on, and she's like a pro, one of the top in the industry, I would say. And so she was like, don't worry, we're gonna talk about this in a way that's not gonna be so frightening. And I really, really, really appreciate her. Speaking of which, I'm just going to shout her out a little bit more because...
Yeah, do it.
This is one of the only times that Solana and Polygon played well together was when they had this joint effort to go to the Hill and educate people on how blockchain actually works. So they've had a couple of these events and it's fantastic. Like, and now Coinbase is involved with Stand With Crypto. So these bigger, more prominent crypto companies are sort of taking their chief legal officers, policy officers, and putting them all together and saying, you know what, there's actually a unified fight here and it's against regulation, because whatever the US does, the rest of the world takes note. And so if we make a safe place for innovation and make a safe place for these companies to flourish, then there'll be a nicer environment in the world in general to have this type of business continue to flourish.
Yeah.
So shout out to Rebecca for making that Polygon Solana hand-holding moment. That was so sweet.
I've been quietly, like, you mentioned her, and I've been quietly, like, responsibly stalking her and her actions and what she does, like, since you mentioned her, and, like, she is a G. I saw her, like, in front of that, was it the House Committee session? Was that what it was? Yeah, she was, she was a G there. Yeah, great. We're so lucky to have individuals like that and you know, Coinbase's chief legal counsel and all those guys. You know, I mean, we had lawsuits against Ripple, Coinbase, Binance, Kraken, you know, and then accusations against Sol, ADA, and Matic. And luckily, like, they pulled back on Sol. Did they pull back on Matic and ADA?
They didn't really say anything. They just said, they just Sol's named it back. Anything, but they didn't actually have anything to, it was just like words on a paper, essentially.
Yeah. So they officially pulled back Sol. Solana is no longer a registered security. I don't know if you heard that, but that
I
happened,
didn't actually hear that
happened like
no,
7 months ago or so.
You know what, though? It's not going to be surprising to me if they pull back on most of those, because again, there was no way to register. And so it's really absurd to say you're unregistered and not have a pathway for registration. So I think that all of the ones that they kind of pointed out in the early days are like, they're non-issues at this point, just because, again, Gary is resigning and there was no regulatory clarity on any of these.
I'm so happy he's gone. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
You know, you were like really excited about this episode.
You're like, I hate him. I hate him. There's not very many people on the planet that I hate. Like, really, I'm like a pretty easy going, cool guy. Like, even people that I hated, I typically don't hate anymore. I'm very much a chill guy until I'm not.
Right.
And he just put me in the knot like every day. Like, I don't know. So I'm really excited that he's gone. So, Jack, I'm glad that we're celebrating this. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the bull crap that he did. So we have Ripple. Let's talk a little bit about like Ripple. Let's talk a little bit about Ripple, like its history, and then kind of like they did this. The SEC came after them it was 2020.
Like, well after they were distributed, like XRP way distributed, like
trading for like 10
after.
Years.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like,
silly,
what?
Silly ass.
Like, were they just like throwing things at a dart and just seeing like who, like top 20, like who's gonna top 50?
So I don't know if you know this or if our listeners, you guys know this, but Ripple, the company that issues XRP, Ripple, the company was actually integrated in for international payments since about 2016. PNC Bank used Ripple they used Ripple. And you know, I would go to the bank and I was like, have you guys heard of Ripple? Because I was invested heavily in Ripple in the 2017 cycle because I thought it was going to be amazing. And it's finally about to hit what it was when I sold some and also bought some at the top, because that was back before, you know, like I figured out the 4-year cycles.
Again, you could never know.
Anyway, so that happened in around 2020. And like they claimed it was a security. Even after it was widely traded, they targeted the executives, you know, Brad Garlinghouse, shout out to him, Chris Larson. They targeted them personally. And so happily, we got a win. Most of you probably know this. We got a partial win with the judge ruling that XRP was not a security in secondary market sales. So that doesn't necessarily apply to like investors, like early investors, but it did apply to secondary sales. So like on exchanges. So like going after Coinbase or Kraken, for example, for selling XRP was void. Like that's like ridiculous, which we all know. Like we all know. Right. Like silly. Goofball. Bald-headed goofball.
Goofball stuff. That's some goofball stuff.
Some goofball
stuff. Don't be a goofball like Gary.
Don't be Gary the goofball.
Gary silly, the goofball. Silly, dude. Silly goose shit.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so Ripple was one of those. That one really surprised me because it came out of nowhere and I was like, what?
Yeah, that was one of the first like big ones.
Boomer coin?
Boomer coin, right? Let's
why are you gonna go after this one? That one was super puzzling to me. But yeah, that was a huge moment because a lot of people had XRP in their wallets and they're like, oh my god, is this gonna get me in trouble?
It definitely messed up the price for sure for a while. And it was actually starting to recover, which just sucks. It was actually starting to recover at that time. So it didn't really benefit from the 2021 boom cycle. The other one that like blew my mind also was the staking services at Coinbase. So like
staking, bro, like literally staking. Yeah.
Like it like isn't staking itself is not financial instrument in a traditional sense, right? It's meant to secure the network, right? So the yield it's generated itself, like, sure, that's a return, but it's not a promised return. It's not like there's no contract to establish that, right? There's no signed contract. And so, like, it just boggled my mind that they would even go after that from the beginning. So that really sucked. Anyway, what are your thoughts?
I think that they didn't really think about the U.S. customer at all. They didn't think about the U.S. consumer at all because I think their actions towards staking really hindered only their own population, their own consensus, right? Like the people of the U.S. were then therein mostly sort of taken out of staking pools or like not allowed to do staking pools officially for a lot of these platforms. I also think about it in terms of like because of the regulatory uncertainty and regulatory aggression, let's say, in the U.S., a lot of the U.S. customers have been just left out of so many airdrops, left out of so many opportunities. And just like that pisses me off.
All right, so mad. So game, little game. Let's play a game here.
Okay.
And guys that are listening and viewing at home, why don't you play this little game as well and leave it in the comments? Like, what do you think the total U.S. dollar amount that you've missed out on?
Oh my God.
Since the ICO era that you've missed out on because of countries not touching the U.S., requiring VPN access, not VPN access, blocking all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Regional blockages, all of that stuff, not just flat out not allowing you to use the platforms. Airdrops. What should we include? Should we include airdrops, ICOs?
Yeah.
ICOs should absolutely be included.
Yeah, absolutely.
Airdrops, ICOs, what else?
I think those are the two main ways that for early adopters and early supporters.
Okay, those are the rules. So drop that in the comments below. And then Jack, what do you think your number is?
Oh my God. Not enough to buy an island, that's for sure.
See, I think it might be.
For you?
I think it might be.
Okay. I definitely would be in a totally different financial situation, but I don't think not enough for an island. I feel like you might have enough for an island and based on like if we count ICO days plus airdrops.
Yes, for certain. But also islands are a lot cheaper than you would think because I did look to buy an island.
Shoot. Okay.
Islands
maybe
are a little bit cheaper than you would think. Roughly 2.5 million can get you the island.
Really?
Yeah, you can get one. You can get one. But then most of them cost a little bit more. Yeah.
Some of them cost a little bit more.
But I'm trying to think back on projects that I could have gotten in on. Axie Infinity, I believe they had an ICO. I couldn't get in on that. There was a bunch of stuff through like CoinList that I couldn't get in 2021. Yeah, there's just a ton. So, okay. So anyway.
Like
so
most of them, especially by like 2022, 2023, 2024. Like most of the things that were exciting for U.S. based people, it was like such a heartache because there's so many DeFi protocols that were offering rewards for early users and things like this. And it was just like, oh, not
was Uniswap one of them? I didn't get the Uniswap airdrop somehow. I don't know how the hell that happened, but did Uniswap require US, like, did it block? I don't think
feel
it did.
Like they did it. No, they were early enough where it didn't, they didn't block the US, if I believe I am correct on
if
that.
You know that, leave it in the comments below as well. Yeah, so I guess that one really sucks. What about Binance? Let's talk about Binance. That was crazy.
Binance, right? Is like, crazy. The funds thing, like the operating an unregistered exchange, but it was mostly not Binance specifically, mostly Binance US. They were really, again, attacking the US bases because that's their reach. So yeah, Binance, the Binance lawsuit was definitely just like baseless, actually. There was no real evidence of wrongdoing. They were just like, let's see what we can stir up today.
Yeah, it felt a lot like that. So like, all right, so here's another thing. Probably the biggest thing and the biggest problem that I have with this POS, what he did, all right, straight up, was FTX, Terra Luna.
All of that.
All of them. Did you stop them?
Exactly.
Bro, did you stop them? Did you have anything in place to stop them? You suck. You were ineffective. I don't know what else to say. I mean, like, you are directly responsible for not regulating the things that needed to be regulated. You did not stop. There were billions of dollars donated to political candidates from Sam Bankman-Fried. I won't say who they are, but there were things that were happening that you could have stopped. You were close to that dude. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And you can't come after me anymore. Sorry, this is too much fun.
No,
listen.
It was really heartbreaking, like, to see all of this stuff actually play out. And so many people were hurt by this. So many people were affected by this. So many projects that were affected by this, right? Because when FTX fell, they also had a venture arm, and those that they invested in were sort of suffering, including, like, I remember Solana took a deep dip because I bought it. It took a deep dip after FTX because of, you know, the uncertainty. And it was really scary for a second. We were like, is Solana going to make it?
I didn't think it would.
Well, a lot of us didn't. A lot of us didn't think it was because
I bought it anyway, but
I did too, because I was like, well, let's see.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's pretty risky.
That's my general attitude with crypto. I'm like, yeah, let's buy it. Let's see. Let's figure it out.
I think it was down to $9.
It's only me. I'm hurting. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, when FTX collapsed, it was so shocking and so. And enter when both of those went down, it was so shocking. And we looked at the SEC for answers and there were none. These are the ones you have to actually regulate. These are the things that you're talking about. This like boogeyman that you're making up. They exist, but you've got to go regulate them first before you even try to go after someone like a Coinbase or a Kraken or a Binance. Like these are the legit ones that actually have legs and they actually have a product to back it up. These misuse of customer funds, all of these things that are like very questionable. You got to go after stuff like that. You got to prioritize that, right? If you're actually on the side of the U.S. consumer, you need to go
personally
after these products that are actually harming U.S. consumers, not Coinbase.
Yeah, dude, you're a failure. You're a failure. Arges after the collapse of Terra USD, right? After.
He was
alleging,
like,
securities fraud.
By the way, I almost forgot about this one that ruined so many people's lives.
Too late, bruh. Too late. Too
what
late,
about,
bruh.
What about the spot Bitcoin ETF saga?
Yeah, like, I'm going to repeatedly deny Bitcoin ETF applications while approving riskier future-based ETF. What is that deal? Let's approve risky future-based ETFs. Like, there was no problem approving those. Those were approved. Honestly, I think, though, I'm probably totally wrong here. I think those were approved in 2014 or something crazy a long time ago. Like, there was some vehicle that you could, in the traditional markets, that you could tap into early that allowed you exposure in some way. I forget what it was. I might be wrong. Leave it in the comments if you know what I'm talking about. But that's nuts. Like, futures trading on Bitcoin instead of a spot.
Like, yeah, exactly. And it just, all it did was push investors offshore.
And the companies.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't pro US company, pro US innovation. Obviously, we're in the US. We want to keep that.
Yeah.
You know, we have some of the best universities. We have some of the best people in the US. From some of the brightest minds come to the US for these opportunities. And to shut them down because the head of the SEC has some unknown agenda, again, with his colleagues even questioning why there's such a target on crypto when there need not be.
Right.
That was just like his, it was like even your peers are like, bro, what?
Like, in the Grayscale lawsuit, the court ruling called the SEC's action arbitrary and capricious.
Arbitrary and capricious. They're like, bro, you're literally like, what are you doing? That's the legal equivalent of bro, what?
Yeah.
Arbitrary and capricious is bro, what?
Yeah. WTFFF. Silly dude.
Driving innovation offshore. All of this stuff is just driving innovation offshore.
Yeah.
Now we've got bigger hubs, or like hubs have grown in like Dubai, in Europe, in Singapore. There's a lot of things coming out of Singapore.
Thailand, just Asia in general.
Asia in general.
You got like Hong Kong, like, which is kind of an interesting dynamic there. Mm-hmm. I think China's probably going to start picking it back up again. And they may just, you know, like they may move faster just despite the U.S.
China, I don't know, because China's a hit or miss, because sometimes they're like, yay, crypto. And sometimes they're like, absolutely not. So they're a little bit of a regulatory IDK. Yeah. That's why I think Hong Kong is interesting, because they're kind of like,
yeah,
just throw all the crypto stuff in Hong Kong. We're okay.
Yeah. I mean, he mismanaged resources. Like they came after him over like traditional regulatory clarities on, you know, like just traditional financial markets, because he was neglecting those and focusing on like just regulating crypto. Like, what an absolute failure of a human being. Like,
He failed at his job fundamentally, because he focused so much on this asset that, again, comparatively to the rest of the market cap of everything else, is a blip in the pool, right? A little drop in the pool. And he spent so much of his waking hours just going against this one little asset that has, I don't even remember how many people are employed by crypto in the US or that hold crypto, right?
A lot now. Apparently,
even more now.
It became
even
a
more
huge
now
thing.
Since the explosions of beeping.
He's ignored Congress. Who has the balls and gall to ignore Congress? I mean, is that something that normally happens? Maybe I don't pay attention to enough of this stuff, like outside of crypto, but is that something that people normally do? Just ignore Congress?
No,
like ignore
people
them
don't
entirely?
Ignore Congress because they're important.
Yeah. Anyway. That's a super, super, super goofy dude. I don't know. You know, like retail has suffered under him. So I don't know. Why don't we wrap it up with kind of, you know, like some parting thoughts. I think Gary Gensler's tenure at the SEC will go down as one of the most controversial probably in modern financial history. He didn't protect investors. He didn't foster innovation. He didn't provide clarity. Instead, he chose to like weaponize the SEC against the industry that is literally building the future of finance. And the saddest part is that he knew better, right? As someone that once taught at MIT on the potential of blockchain, he could have championed this for progress. Instead, he chose chaos. He chose to throw an industry, a burgeoning industry, into chaos. But now, as he exits stage left, we have a chance to reset. We get a chance to like restart and to elect leaders who actually understand blockchain, decentralization, and the promise of this technology. So here's to turning the page on an era of betrayal and build a brighter future for blockchain.
I'm so excited to turn the page. And
for real.
You know, the potential of a Paul Atkins nomination for crypto czar, whatever.
Let's go.
We'll see how that plays out. I mean, like, that's obviously going to be a net benefit to have someone from the industry to be appointed in such a position. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see who gets appointed to the head of the SEC after Gary. We're just happy he's gone because he was misallocating resources and misallocating time and misallocating hate. He was misallocating his hate to crypto.
He's just a loser. And on that note, goodbye, loser.
Goodbye, Gary Gensler.
Goodbye.
So long, sucker.
Goodbye, you bald-headed, Mr. Burns-looking embarrassment to America. That wraps up our episode of Cryptocurrents. Please remember to smash that subscribe and smash that like and go and follow us on X. Go and follow us on YouTube. We're on Lens. We're on Warpcast. We're on everything that a Web3 company would be on. Go check it out. Until next time, peace.
See ya. Thank you so much.